As a police supervisor who would be responding to a shots fired call, I need some information. I need to know if I need squad and medics and a helicopter. I need to know if the bad guy is still alive and dangerous. I need to know if there's other bad guys that are out in the wind that might ambush me. I need to know the direction shots were fired so I can check for collateral damage and collateral injuries. So there is some important information that I'm going to need as a responding responsible law enforcement agency.
This is Corey Jones with the Be Ready with Safety Man podcast. Join us every week for a new podcast. Follow us everywhere podcasts are played and on YouTube. Be Ready with Safety Man. This is Corey Jones.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another Safety Man podcast. I'm Ida Hoagie, and I'm here with the main man, as always, Corey Safety Man Jones. What's up? What's up?
Hey, Safety Man here, safetyman.co. As always, at Safety Man CO on all social media. Here to keep you safe, here to keep you secure, here to ensure you can survive anything that comes your way. So what do we got, Hoagie? What do we got today?
So, well, first off, I want to start off with a little, like, a little something. First off, I don't know if you realize this, but this is our four-year anniversary of starting this podcast together.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I know you started a little bit beforehand, and then I came in to start doing some stuff with you, but it's been 4 years. 2019 is when we first started. August of 2019, we first joined up and said, you know, let's do this once in a while and just get together and BS about police work and life. And, I look forward to our conversations every month. It keeps me a little motivated, gets my mind a little sharp, and I like just being able to conversate about it. And I hope other people enjoy our conversations about some of the topics. But I just want to say thank you, because I enjoy this every month for a little bit, you know, just BSing and talking.
Well, I want to say thank you, because you took me from 7 followers to almost 1,000 followers. So right there.
Listen, as of here, look, because I got the YouTube up, let's just do a little recap here real quick while we're here, everyone. First off, thank you to everyone listening, because you've helped grow in our channel, and we've had fun, and we've gotten some good feedback, and Corey's met, I think, a couple new customers along the way as well. So we, on YouTube alone, we're at like 1,700 subscribers. We're almost at 4,000 or 3,000 watch hours, which might make us a partner at some point down the road. I know our TikTok has been growing and everything, so appreciate all that, and we're trying to get better. I'm trying to learn some new techniques of editing and things like that, so trying to improve the good stuff for everybody at home, and at the same time stay relevant and bring conversations that people want to learn about and hear about. And you know, we've had some hot topics and things, so
yeah, you know. indeed. I think my favorite one most recently was the John Wick 4.
Yeah,
that was my favorite one.
Yeah, that was. We got to do some more movie reviews and breakdowns for sure.
Right, did you see FUBAR? Did you see FUBAR yet?
No. What is that with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
And Fortune Feimster. You're going to binge it, so make sure you don't have anything to do for 8 hours, because I guarantee you will not be able to stop in between episodes. It's suspend disbelief, almost like we had to do Wick, but it's actually meant to be somewhat comical in it too.
I have some night shifts coming up, so on my nights off, I usually end up binging stuff around 3 a.m. on my nights off, because I have nothing to do. So
yeah.
I will add that to the list for sure. I just finished Jack Ryan recently.
Yeah, kind of ended abruptly, didn't it?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I don't know. I just feel like they kind of left it off where it could have been more. So we'll see what happens. So this conversation tonight I thought would be a good one is a little bit about off-duty. Just maybe some tactics, some things to share, some maybe inspiration or information you could share about maybe experiences off duty and things like that. So that, you know, that's where I kind of thought the conversation maybe should go tonight.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, when you're off duty, remember just that, you're off duty. You don't have unless you're a maniac, you don't have a gun belt and body armor and a portable radio and handcuffs and extra magazines and a tourniquet and all those different things. It's just you, maybe a pistol, maybe a spare magazine, maybe a pocket knife and a cell phone, but no uniform, no identification, none of that stuff. So you're really at an extreme disadvantage. So let's just start from there and work our way up.
Yeah, I would say first thing I would say, I mean, I think it's policy for a lot of departments, but I would say if you're going to be carrying, you should definitely be carrying your badge with you, either on your belt. I know you might not want to display it, but on your belt, in your wallet, under your shirt, hanging around a chain. you want to have that pretty visible. I think that's the first sign, because there has been a lot of cases where officers off duty have been shot because they were associated being involved or being the bad guy, when really they were probably just trying to help or whatnot. So first thing first, make sure that you have that some kind of identification that you could easily pull out, you know, under your shirt or on your belt. Somewhere that show like a little bit to kind of calm some ease here. There's a situation to figure out who the good guys and the bad guys are pretty quickly.
Yeah. And practice how you're going to do that. So don't have your wallet on the same side as your gun hand, because you're not going to be able to get it out. If your gun hand is occupied, you want to have your wallet in the other side pocket, so you can have your wallet and eye in this hand and your pistol in this hand. So when the police show up, they can actually see both at the same time, or the subject or suspect you're dealing with can see that you are a police officer and you have a firearm, and maybe that'll give them a little more credibility into following your instructions.
Yeah. I think too, following instructions is big as well. I think make sure that you're letting your ego aside, because if officers do show up in the chaotic scene and they might tell you to get on the ground or whatever, don't, you know, that's where you don't want to start an argument. You know, if they don't realize right away that you are an off-duty officer, they don't recognize you, they don't know you personally, listen to the commands. They'll figure it out pretty quickly. I'm probably sure of it. But, you know, just like as if you're in uniform and you're going up to someone, you don't know who's who sometimes. So if they're not listening, it becomes a very dicey situation pretty quickly.
Yeah. And this anybody who has a CCW or permit to carry, a lot of the advice or the information we're talking about today transfers almost 100% to people who have this permit to carry, because they may have their firearm out, law enforcement may show up, and they may want to turn around and show the officer their gun and their permit. Don't turn around with a gun in your hand when the police are showing up, because you're going to catch a bullet in the face, right? So just listen to what they're doing. But it all comes with practicing. You know, role play this stuff in your head. Visualize these things in your head. I'm on the job. I'm the good guy. He's armed. Pay attention to them. I will listen to you. And then go ahead and comply with their reactions. And as you start sounding off like that, as you indicated, Hoagie, you're going to start making sense. And they're going to start, all right, maybe this person is on the job. And then they'll eventually get you up and dust it off.
Yeah, and I think that's key. And I think here's a little off-duty tip I would kind of recommend. You know, not every officer obviously lives in the neighborhood that they work in. Some people do, but sometimes they don't. I would say if you do work out, if you live in a different neighborhood, obviously try to get to know your police officers, right? Because, you know, I know in situations where I've met people and they've introduced themselves to me like, "Hey, I'm just letting you know, I work for so and so. You know, if there's ever a problem, I do carry off duty." They let me know, like, I would see them in certain environments. I don't want to say where, but I would see them in certain environments every day, and they would come up to me and like, "Listen, if anything ever hits the fan, just know that I'm around this time of day, you know, if you need something." So
exactly,
just putting your out there. So then it's easy to put a face to a name. You might not remember the department or what he did, but you at least like, "All right, I saw his badge. I know him. I met him many times. I've seen his uniform. I know he's from a couple towns over. You know, he's on the same team if something does go down." So just going, you know, we just had National Night Out across the country. That is a great way to get out there, meet your fellow officers in your departments that you live in, and just kind of get a little bit of a feel for, you know, who's who, and just introduce yourself when you're around or whatever, you know. And it's a good, you know, way to contact and make a network too, because you never know. I mean, there's been tons of times where I've called other places and I'm like, "Oh, you know, I met you at a class, or I met you here," and they can help you out a little bit. And, you know, they'll push you to the front of the pile of paperwork there to get your warrant cleared a little bit quicker. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Get that warrant cleared. Get that person our award. That's always the big thing, right? Our award on the scene, right? So let me get your opinion on this, because I know I used to go one way on this, and now I'm kind of like on the fence, and I'm not quite sure where I feel. Is wearing those colors, right? Wearing the thin blue line, wearing the "I'm on the job" shirt, wearing the, you know, the ex-police department shirt that you got as a t-shirt from wherever you work and so forth. The bad way is, criminals could target you. You know, that proverbial bank robber, "Well, I'm going to shoot him first because he's probably a cop." But that could also lend to citizens taking you seriously if you're trying to take control of a dangerous situation and they're listening to you. And it could also help in responding officers that you don't know from another jurisdiction taking you seriously because they see the attire you're wearing. And they're starting to add all these little facts together, your demeanor, the fact that you have a gun, the way you're standing, the verbal commands that you're giving, the clothing that you're wearing. You got on some 5.11s, you know, some hiking boots, a knife sticking out of one of your pockets, a pistol in your hand holding it properly, and a shirt with a thin blue line and a flag with the stars in the front on the opposing sleeve, that might make them less likely to start throwing rounds downrange at you. What do you think?
I personally don't wear stuff with my department on it unless it's like a department-friendly event or, you know, we're going somewhere with other guys in the department. Maybe I will, but generally speaking, I don't wear departmental stuff out and about.
Right.
The stuff I do wear is like more supportive stuff. Like I'll wear like, you know, I know our department's doing stuff for like breast cancer awareness and things like that. So more, I guess, generally accepted things that just kind of like are out there. But I don't generally advertise that kind of stuff on the most, you know, for the most part going out. And that's just kind of a personal decision of mine with the family and kids and things like that. Not that I feel like I'll be completely targeted or whatever. I feel like, you know, I carry generally most of the time when I'm out. I feel comfortable if there was a situation, you know, I'm prepared for it. But, you know, I don't know. It's just been my personal thing. I really don't advertise too much when I'm out there in the middle, you know, just out there and out and about.
I agree. And you mentioned something just this last go around is your family and kids. They got to have a plan too. We got to have a plan of what we're going to do with them, right? So my wife and I have a code word. We actually have two code words. One if it's just her and I, and one if it's her and I and the boys, that if we say this code word, it's not a word that's ever going to come up in a general sentence. They're going to read the demeanor of the code word. So let's just say for now it's pancakes. And I say, hey, you want pancakes for breakfast? She knows to get the kids and get away from me, get to a safe location, call 911, give the description of me as the good guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's wearing a safety man polo shirt. You know, he's African-American. He's carrying a pistol. And I don't know what he's up to, but there's something going on, right? So that way the police get that description. And again, a little bit less likely to hopefully engage me with deadly force, right? Mm-hmm. And so forth. So we have to have a plan with our loved ones of what's going to happen if something goes sideways.
Yeah, and that's one thing I've kind of drilled into my kids, at least the minimum of just like, hey, I know we've talked about this before, but I'll bring it up again because it is important. Just if there's like, if you're out at a sporting event or somewhere, just so you have a meeting point, like this is where we're going to go. You're going to meet here. And my kids have gotten really good now where they're like asking me, they're like, Dad, where's the meeting point? Like, so I've kind of drilled it in their heads. Like they know now, like, this is the spot we go to, you know, they know to look for police. They know, you know, kind of stuff like that, like take off. We'll meet there, you know, and go from there. My oldest son now has a phone. So he's, you know, understands 911 and the whole, you know, that whole thing. So, you know, teaching your kids those things. The one thing I do want to do, which I'm going to show on myself, but I actually want to do a class with them too. And maybe something we could do together, but I do want to teach them tourniquets. I have not taught them yet that, and I want to teach them that. I do carry with me, depending on where I'm at, if I'm carrying my bag, if you ever see me carrying a book bag, there's a tourniquet in there. So like when I go to like Disney or like a park for the day or Six Flags or something like that, I do carry a tourniquet in my book bag. I have like a drawstring bag I carry. Yeah. It's always in there. And then I always keep one in my car as well. So, you know, I figure if you're going to carry a gun, you should probably have a tourniquet nearby. You know, so that's an off duty, I think, and that's a cheap, easy thing. Throw one in the car. We've talked about that a little bit before, but for off duty stuff, you know, if you want to carry in your pocket, it is. But like I said, if you got a book bag or even if your wife has or, you know, other significant other has a big purse, you can easily just throw a tourniquet in there. Yeah.
And don't tell her because she's going to take it out to put something else in there. Just sneak it in there.
Or she'll just never find it because they can just never.
I'll find it. I'll just be there. It is lipstick and mascara all over the place. They're like, "What were you doing?" I needed to get to the tourniquet.
It's in there somewhere. But
so let me ask you another question. Okay. So we're talking about having a plan for a significant other, having a plan for the kids, actually having a plan for yourself as far as what is your legal obligation, responsibility, and what are your legal rights should you get into a use of force incident off duty? Do you have legal representation through your union, through a private attorney? And then do you have liability insurance if there should be a civil judgment against you? Because you really need the fine print in a lot of these legal defense funds, because most of them only cover if you're criminally, if you're civilly charged, not if you're criminally charged. So you need to really read the fine print in these USCCAs, in these US Law Shields, to find out those three things. Are they criminal and or civil? And are they liability insurance? Because they're all three completely different things. And you need to know what backing you have, what financial resources are going to be at your disposal. Because one expert witness can be $10,000 to come in and testify on your behalf. You know, and your attorney, they're $500-$600 a day, and you may not even have made it to the grand jury yet, and you're up $15,000. And where are you going to get that from if it's not part of your plan?
Yeah, that's definitely a conversation to have with your FOP rep at your department. You know, see what's covered, what's not. There was a joke in my academy, which I thought was a joke, but it wasn't. They said, make sure, they're like, if you don't have a lawyer's phone number in your phone, make sure you have one. I thought it was a joke at the time. I have like five lawyers that I talk to probably, between like real estate and life and finances and police. Like, not that I'm getting in trouble all the time, but you get to the point where you're going to need lawyers in your life to write up contracts and different things, and not just police work. So that it is a good recommendation. If you don't know a lawyer, probably when you're going to meet one, get them in your phone, have their phone number on standby, because I thought that was a joke. It was not a joke.
Yeah. And it costs you nothing to have a 10-minute conversation with a criminal defense lawyer to find out, all right, what's your retainer going to look like? If I get charged at 2:00 in the morning for shooting somebody in my living room, for shooting somebody in my driveway, for shooting somebody at the Paramus Mall, what is it? What's that going to look like for you or one of your representatives to come out on Christmas Eve to help me give my initial statement to the responding law enforcement officers and so forth? I need to know that your response is going to be 24/7, 365. Worst case scenario, they can be on speakerphone while the investigating law enforcement agency gets your initial statement. And we could probably talk for hours on what kind of a statement you want to give initially. Because, my brother's an attorney. He's like, no, don't say anything. As a police supervisor who would be responding to a shots fired call, I need some information. I need to know if I need squad medics and a helicopter. I need to know if the bad guy is still alive and dangerous. I need to know if there's other bad guys that are out in the wind that might ambush me. I need to know the direction shots were fired so I can check for collateral damage and collateral injuries. So there is some important information that I'm going to need as a responding responsible law enforcement agency. And I think that it's incumbent upon you as an off-duty or retired police officer or even a CCW holder to give that information, because legally, tactically, and morally, you may have to live with the fact that you shot your neighbor, but you zipped up for an hour and a half until the lawyer got there, and then the lawyer said, yeah, which way did you shoot? Then they go knock on the door and they find out that she bled out but could have lived. How are you going to live with that? So you need those questions answered before that situation happens.
Yeah. And there's some of them are difficult answers, which
they are. They are. I haven't agreed with very many attorneys on that. They went less. I went a little bit more to be responsible.
Yeah. It's the double side of the line there, mm-hmm. Because you're going to be ripped apart. So you just got to do what's best and do what's right. But definitely I would get, a lawyer on the phone as soon as possible if you're in a situation off duty. Once it's safe, obviously you don't want to be calling. That's a tip. It's safe. Don't be calling in the middle of the shootout. I'm in the grocery store. Yeah. I'm getting in a shootout. Just give me a heads up.
Can you start towards the IGA? Is that even a store anymore? Did I just think up something that's
exciting? I don't know. I'm not familiar with that one.
All right, let's go with Costco. So people don't think we made this in 1974.
Well, I don't know, though, because in like 10 years now with like AI, there'll probably be technology where you'll just be like, get the lawyer in the zone, and there'll be a virtual lawyer probably.
Discussing our phones are listening to us anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, there'll probably be a virtual lawyer in the middle of your shootout. Okay, well, don't.
100%. 100%.
It's coming. It's coming. But yeah, no, that's definitely have some good phone numbers. Have your FOP rep.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, these are the people that you want to have in your phone, because if you do get something, you want to know your policy, because certain departments, you know, if you are involved in something, even as simple as like assisting another department with, you know, I've had situations where I've called in, you know, a DWI on the side of the road where I saw a guy all over the place, you know, like one of those, and almost caused an accident on a major road. If you're involved in something like that, like we had to stop, pull over, the officer responded, got my statement, like you have to let your department know within so many hours, like 24 hours or whatever, yes, of what happened, what you were involved in. So that's another thing. If you're off duty, you want to know those off duty policies, because you don't want to get jammed up for not reporting something, you know, yeah, that you're supposed to report.
Yeah, because when a stress level goes up, our ability to make good, sound decisions starts to go down when that stress level goes up. So that's why you definitely want to have, like you said earlier, clearly your union representative is going to really help you make those good, sound decisions and get the proper people there to you. And also know what your rights are, because the vast majority of prosecutors' offices and the Attorney General's shooting response team have gone to schools like Force Science Research, where they know that it's not beneficial to them, it's not fair to you, and it's not good to the investigation to get a complete real statement and a walkthrough until you've had at least two, most likely three sleep sessions, because your memory is going to start to get involved, you're going to calm down, and so forth, right? So it's not like TV, where the person gets into a shootout, 10 minutes later, they're in the boss's office giving the account, and 20 minutes later, they're back on the case again.
Yeah.
You're not investigating anything for months.
Yeah, you're investigating the psychiatrist's office. And,
yeah,
you're
fit for duty.
Yep, that's what you're investigating. That's a whole other conversation we'll save for another day for sure.
I agree with that. You shouldn't be on the road right away.
Definitely need time to decompress after those.
So what do you carry off duty? What's your EDC?
So we carry. So what our department does is that with the what we train with, we carry a very similar model to the off duty. So that way we can fall under the same training of it. It's the same caliber. Right. We have the 9mm. Mm-hmm. We're shooting a Glock. And it's the same, it's a subcompact of the Glock that we're carrying. So that way it falls under the same qualifications. And that's another good off-duty tip. Make sure that you're qualified or comfortable in the same range of what you're actually carrying. Because if you're carrying a 9mm on the road, and then you buy a 45 for your off-duty, and you don't ever qualify with anything similar, that's a whole nother conversation you're going to have with lawyers and defense attorneys and all kinds of problems there. So that's a whole nother.
If you carry a gun that you didn't qualify with, you know, now private citizens in the CCW, it seems to be that the attorney general says one gun you qualify with shall be sufficient for all the guns you own. And while I disagree with that, and any client that comes through me must qualify on any gun they intend to carry. And they know that. I said, you can go someplace else. And now we're finding there's a lot of ranges that have to make their clients come back and re-qualify because they weren't doing the strict standard that I was doing for that. And you and I talked about that 8-9 podcasts ago when CCWs first became legal in New Jersey. I used the same standard that retired police officers use. And people are like, that's too tough a standard. I'm like, well, that's why we practice.
The other thing I like about, you know, I carry the subcompact of the 40, it's the 45, it's 9mm. Which I still don't understand why they called it a Glock 45, but it's a 9mm. Like, I just felt like that was confusing.
And the actual 45 is called a 21.
Yeah. Like, what? I don't get it. But anyway, yeah, because I tell people I carry Glock 45. They're like, oh, 45 caliber. I'm like, no, it's 9mm. Like, what? I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just don't ask.
Don't ask. But I like the fact that the subcompact is similar to that. Now, the only difference between the one I used to have before, the magazines were interchangeable. The new ones aren't. I don't like that as much. But the ammo is exactly the same. So that's the other thing I think, because I've seen people, and luckily it wasn't a life or death situation. I've seen people use the wrong ammo in the weapon, and luckily it didn't fire and like there was problems. But I've seen it happen before, and I was like,
I saw it last week, Anthony. I saw it last week.
Yeah, it's like, you know, this close to like a really bad situation. And so I think, you know, that's one thing too, is like, it makes it way easier if you're carrying the same ammo on duty and off duty, if you can, depending on your state, you know, depending on what you carry and whatnot, through your department. But that makes it way easier, because then you don't have to worry about confusing where, what's loading into this. I need extra ammo. You know, like, it makes it very simple if you're carrying the same ammo that you're trained with on and off duty as well.
Commonality breeds confidence, which breeds competence. So you, why change it? Why go to a cocked and locked 1911 model when your duty gun that you practice with all the time is a striker fire 9mm or 40 caliber? It makes zero sense.
I think it's okay if you train in all them, right? Like on the regular, like, sure. But a lot, you know, let's be honest, a lot of guys and girls, they don't, you know, they go to their fall once or twice a year. And if that's you, listen, I get it. You got a lot of family, you got a lot of time, you got a lot of things going on. But if that is you, if you are only at the quals once or twice a year at the range, then you shouldn't be waiting to like the time to experiment with that new, you know, Springfield or whatever you got, because you thought it looked cool, is not at the grocery store at 4 p.m. when a shooting breaks out. Like, that's not the time to figure that out. Right. Like,
exactly.
You know, you're going to be comfortable with what you know. And that's proven, you know, muscle memory is going to take over in these high stress situations. So if you're not trained on those and you're not practicing regularly that you feel comfortable, that's an off-duty tip I would definitely recommend, is don't try to switch it up at that point because you think it's cool, you know, or whatnot.
Yeah. Come to me. I'll train you. I'll put you through the paces, and I'll make sure that you're as good with any gun you have as you are with your duty gun. That's my job. That's what I do. That's what I enjoy doing. You know, please come, or any competent gun trainer. And, you know, I'm sure you can do the same thing with somebody, you know, just put them through the paces, make them do the malfunctions and all that kind of stuff. So for EDC, all right, so you carry any gun, you carry an extra magazine?
Sometimes if I have my bag with me, I'll carry the extra mag.
Yeah.
And if I'm like doing something in soft capacity of work, like what I mean is like maybe it's a comp time or it's a family event or something like that, I have the pouch with the secondary and the handcuff that goes on the other side. So if I'm just going light, like let's say I'm just running, I don't know, like to the movies or something like that, like I carry my badge, my gun. If I'm going somewhere like for extended period of time, you know, like somewhere's a little more high profile, like somewhere's where a lot of people are going to be, you know, that's, I'm probably carrying my bag with me, and that has like my like little bag has all my stuff, and which I found is pretty convenient for going places that I can carry. And I put an extra mag in there, you know, my identification cards, you know, my tourniquet, things like that. But I don't want to be too heavy, right? Like I don't want to be like you said, you don't want to be the guy with like too much stuff on your, because then it's just awkward, right? Like, but just
then you fall down and you're doing the turtle trying to get back up.
Yeah, I do carry though in my trunk in my car, I do carry a vest, some supplies and stuff like that. If it's like an oh shit, you know, end of the world kind of stuff.
Like, if you're driving by a school shooting, you got to go in, right? You got to go.
So I do carry a vest. I do keep a vest in my trunk at all times, and you know, identification plate if I needed it.
Yeah, I agree. I do the same thing. Even though I'm not a cop anymore, I'm like, I'll deal with that. But I'm not driving by a middle school, an elementary school, or a high school and hearing people get shot and just sitting there waiting for the local cops. My good conscience can't let me do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go in and I'm going to save lives. That's just what I'm going to do. And so be it if they're going to want to do me. You know, I think the court of public opinion will hopefully be on my side.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, it sucks to say that. But again, being, you know, an off-duty tip is being prepared for those situations. And like, here's the thing too, in my car, when I'm done my tour, like if I work like 2 days, let's say, I then bring home my patrol bag out of the car and it's in my personal car. So on my days off, like, you know, when I'm not working at all, my patrol bag with all my goodies are in my car. So, you know, all the fun stuff's in there, you know, nothing like guns and anything like that. But like fun stuff like duct tape and straw, you know, strings and, you know,
You sound more like a serial killer than a off-duty cop. Hacksaw,
chainsaw,
big bag of a line,
a shovel.
I think we went sideways, Hoagie. I think we went sideways on this podcast.
Yeah. Nah, you know, like a rain jacket, flares, you know, like all the little fun tools and stuff, like that kind of stuff, you know. So last couple things I was thinking, and I think this is kind of standard for most cops, is like I still got to see the doorways when I'm sitting at dinner. Mm-hmm. My fiance has gotten used to it now. She just knows that I'm sitting on the other side.
Yep.
I think it's more for people watching than it is for like season up activity anymore. Just like, oh, look at this.
You know? Look at this. He's wearing shorts here. Really? Yeah. Come on, dude.
Look at this. You know, but yeah, so I definitely got to keep my back to it. What, any other typical things you could think of like that?
I try to scan and see, does this place have security? Make eye contact with, the bartender, a bouncer, maybe even another person in there. Sometimes you make eye contact. If you go back to after September 11th, you remember the first time you flew, right? We were all junior TSA agents for about a year after we started flying again after September 11th attacks, right? And I know I was doing it, and a lot of people I talked to were doing it. We're making that eye contact with other people on the plane, like, we're good, right? You just kind of have that little look, right? We're good. I kind of start to do that now. Like I say, hey, what's up, man? We good? Yeah, you know, just kind of give that little, we good? You good to go? We got this, you know? And then if something happens, I got so many plans to try to de-escalate it. Like if I see a violent domestic about to take place, you know, I'll go just right up, put myself in between the two parties and talk to the girl and call her by the wrong name. So I'm not going to inflame him because he thinks I'm talking to his girl too, on top of the problem he already has. But I'll go, Vanessa, are you Vanessa from PNC Bank? You know, thank God you hooked me up so much of my loan. And just to try to settle it down, you know, I try to role play and think of all these different things of how I could try to defuse, de-escalate a situation. But on my way over there, I'll be telling my significant other, patrons that I'm walking by, the bartender, bouncer, maitre d', an employee, whoever it is, call 911, and I'm telling other people to videotape it in case I do have to use force, that they have everything on there, right? Mm-hmm. That they have everything on there. These are things that I've already planned out, so they're automatic coming out. You know, hey, man, I'm scared. I just got back from a war zone. I got PTS. I'm not ready for this. Please don't hurt me, dude. You're really scaring me. I'm about to pee my pants, man. Please don't. But I'm ready to go if it's time to go. You know what I mean? But I really want to sell it so all the witnesses are saying, hey, yeah, this guy tried to de-escalate it, man. He told the guy he was scared. He told the guy to stop. He asked us to call the police. And then all of a sudden the guy swung at him and he took him down and did whatever. Right? So that's going to be the one that's going to sound good in court. It's going to look good in court. When they play the video camera in court, they're going to see me going, hey, man, I really don't want any part of this, right?
Yeah.
We got to role play that. We got to visualize that and practice that to make it automatic, to make it believable.
Yeah. And I think just years of experience helps with de-escalating now. Like, you kind of know what works and what doesn't. You know, if you're not trying something to de-escalate it these days, you're just making it worse. So, off-duty trying to de-escalate, you know. Or, you know, another thing, too, is just, if it's something that like you got family and kids with you, it's just getting out of the, realizing that something's getting iffy, getting out of the area and just making the call in and say, hey, listen, I can't hang around here. Something's going down. This guy and girl are going at it, you know, and this other guy's getting involved now. Here's their description, being a good off-duty witness, getting your family safe, leaving the scene, but also getting all the details to a dispatcher. You, like I said, you might not be interjected in there to stop it, but you're going to get the right people there to help defuse it and get your family safe out of the zone.
Right.
You know,
That's a great point. That's a great point. Yeah, it's a great point. Being a good witness, and you're going to know exactly what information that dispatcher needs to talk those responding first responders to the exact location. If somebody leaves, you're going to get the clothing description, the height, the weight, the skin color, glasses, facial hair. You're going to get all that information to be able to direct them right to the scene, right? And if you want to remain anonymous, you still can. But if you, or if you want to get involved, you still can. And then you make the decision. If stuff goes sideways, you guys go in this store over here. I got to go back in now because now it's, I can't stand outside anymore. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and you have that discussion and then you're good to go.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. So that's all I pretty much had for off duty. I just wanted to get the conversation going. As always at home, you know, feel free to comment down below. We've had some good conversations on some of our videos of, you know, just some ideas and things like that. So Keep it positive, right? Keep it positive in the comments. You know, if you're just being a troll, this is not the place for you.
They're still fun.
But no, for real, we you know, we're thankful for all the subscribers and the people that have been coming back, and you know, I've had some good feedback as well. So I look forward to a couple more years of doing this with you, Core, and see where it takes us and go from there. So,
and we got to throw the final disclaimer in. All we're doing is giving you some of our opinions. Check with your local agency, check with your rules and regulations and your SOPs and your general orders. Or if you're in another state, check with your state's attorney general or district attorney, whoever your governing authority is, and make sure that you're operating within your laws and your standards and your expectations to make sure that you're not doing what we said because we said it, but you're thinking about what we said and applying it to whatever your policies are.
True, 100%. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Follow us on TikTok. You can follow Corey on his website. And where are we going, Core?
Safetyman.co.
Safetyman.co for all.
And I was going to smash the like button. The like button.
Hit the like button. Smash that like button. Subscribe. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Smash it.
Thank you, everybody.
You got it. Be safe. Stay ready and train.